Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
And Taylor Lightman. Good morning, everybody, and welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. Last live show of 2018. Monday, we'll have a best of. If we go back in the archives. Yeah, we're going to air the interview that you and I did with Scott, or with Professor Mann, Jeffrey Mann.
I'm still reading the book.
Yeah, on the May I Kill book. So we'll be talking about that. That'll be coming up on WKOK on Monday. Probably no better time than this exact moment to thank our fabulous producer, Rob Center, has taken fantastic care of us all year, and so we appreciate that, and he's going to be here in 2019, and he's stuck with us, so he'll be running a live show Wednesday. Now, I won't be here Wednesday, Steve Kushiloff and Joe McGranahan will be here, and then I'll be back on Thursday next week, and we'll launch into another set of On the Mark shows. Ben Reichle is with us, local businessman, Republican committee person, and American First, before all those other titles. He happens to be a papa, too. So he's here. Welcome aboard. Thanks.
Good to be here.
Thanks for coming in.
Good Christmas.
Yeah, I liked it okay. I got to work in the morning, so we earn a little overtime for working Christmas, so there's nothing wrong with that. So it was okay. And you?
Very good. Went fast. Seemed like there was three Sundays in a row. Once Sunday hit, once Monday hit, and once Christmas hit on Tuesday. But
right, and this is Friday, just for your information. Your vacation is over. You know that.
Next week.
Oh, that's right. You got a couple more days.
In sweatpants.
Well, and Taylor Lightman. Are you really?
No.
Okay. I was going to say, I never saw you in anything but a
they're not sweatpants,
nice outfit. Taylor Lightman is back. He's one of the great local free thinkers in our valley, and he is a student overseas, but we're glad to say that he comes back for break and comes back.
Yeah, it's always good to be here. Studying climate change adaptation over in Lund, Sweden. So, love being home and happy to be here.
Well, that's
thanks, Mark.
A big job. We're glad you're doing that for us. So, thank you. We need answers around here fast. And we're glad to say we have two guests, and we're going to introduce them in a moment. We're going to be talking about an essay contest that's underway locally. But in addition to talking about the contest, that is certainly noteworthy. Why is it necessary that we bring up the Holocaust? Why does it have to be brought up and talked about? Why do we need the reminder? So that we have some folks in the studio to talk about that momentarily. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. Throughout our program, you are welcome to do as some individuals have done already, and that's email us at onthemark@wkok.com. They're good conversation starters, so we can read those. And throughout our program, or anytime, 24/7, you can text us at 70236. Text Connect is an opportunity for us to enjoy two-way communication with you. We send you breaking news. We sent out details today about that crash on Route 61, but you can always use it to communicate with us. So that's Text Connect 70236. You sign up at WKOK.com. Mr. David Young is back. We know him as one of the leaders of the ACLU. He's a Marine, and he is a free thinker, and he is also helping to promulgate a essay contest around here called Days of Remembrance. They got a real blue ribbon panel on their board, and this has been underway for a while, so he's going to tell us about that. Welcome back, David.
Thank you, Mark.
I do appreciate it. Thanks for coming in. Move even closer to that mic, if you don't mind. And you brought another David with you. David Jacobson is here, and it seems only logical that I meet him because I've met all the rest of the family from Lewisburg.
Well, it's great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, Sherry Jacobson would be his wife, and she's one of the local advocates and activists around here, and the moms group probably has made her available to us to talk with most often, but she was in the news before then. And your son, Nick, is a real young leader, a real student leader around here, if there ever was one. You just love to watch him because you know you're watching somebody who's just going to be a wheel someday. You know that to be true. So,
well, thank you very much. It's really nice to hear.
So then they bring in old Dave, old dad is here. And we actually talked to your daughter, Catherine, briefly, I think last March or so during the student walkouts. She was one of the leaders making sure that students' voices were heard at the middle school in Lewisburg. So
that's right.
Yeah, you got a real activist family there. So these kids will go far, and the parents are already making their voices known. David Young, Days of Remembrance essay contest. Where did that idea come from?
Well, back in January of 1995, when I was driving to school to teach ninth grade English students, I heard on FEN radio, it was the 50th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. And so, as I occasionally did, I gave my students an unannounced writing assignment. I gave them the word Holocaust, and I asked them to tell me what it meant. It was an extra credit assignment. And roughly half of my ninth grade students, all of whom had read The Diary of Anne Frank as eighth graders, they had no idea. They thought it was a motorcycle gang, a music group, and so forth. I was a bit upset. I typed up the responses, took them to the military Jewish chaplain, Rabbi Seth Phillips. He, too, was upset. I invited him to speak to my students. He informed me about this Public Law 96-388, which the federal government encourages the military and all kinds of organizations to have some kind of a program to honor or address the Holocaust. Anyway, so I share this with Dave Jacobson about 4 years ago, that I was surprised that my students didn't know anything about the Holocaust. And then he shares with me a YouTube video.
In this YouTube video, it's a teacher from Pennsylvania who went around and interviewed college students in Pennsylvania and asked them about the Holocaust. And many of the students had no idea what the Holocaust was, just no concept of what it was, how it fit into history, and we're not talking that long ago. And the main point of this YouTube video was to encourage schools, public schools in Pennsylvania, to teach about the Holocaust and its importance.
All right, Dave, what's the Holocaust to you?
Well, the Holocaust was the murder of 6 million Jews and over 5 million other people that were deemed as less than the master race. The Nazis considered themselves the master race and had a goal of creating a world that only contained people of the master race. And their final solution was to murder people that were not part of that master race. And they almost succeeded. They got very close.
I think the scariest thing for me about the Holocaust is the systematicness of it. You know, that it was, you know, for the Nazis, it was kind of based on logic, and it was just this then this, and it was so systematic and brutal, and it's awful.
And David, we're talking about the fact that folks can't remember what the Holocaust was. Young people can't.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, Mark, that back in April of this year, as part of the Holocaust Remembrance Day, there was a survey conducted. 41% of Americans and 66% of millennials could not say what Auschwitz was. They had no idea. I just find this, as an educator, as a veteran, as a senior citizen, almost beyond comprehension that so many people have no idea. And that has to do with young people and older people.
All right, so we're going to change this. Locally, You started the essay contest overseas, right?
Yes.
All right, so that started over there, but now you brought it locally. Tell us about that.
Well, when I shared this with Dave some time ago, then we sort of talked about it a little bit, and I've had some sort of setbacks. I was hospitalized and so forth for some operations, but we thought of putting together a local essay contest, and we've come up with variations, and they've kind of been set aside because of other little events, but fortunately we've gotten together and got a beautiful team, and now we've come up with the actual essay contest, and it's online, and hopefully it'll be something that many of our young people become interested in, because it's an opportunity for them to demonstrate their curiosity, and it's also a chance for them to earn some money, because we're giving some nice awards, like $500 first place, $250 second place, and 10 or more $100 awards for honorable mention.
And kids are learning about this right now in schools?
A letter went out to all of the superintendents in our 10-county area, several counties, and hopefully those superintendents will share it with their respective educators and, you know, in terms of interested students and interested teachers will promote this. It's a nice opportunity for everybody.
Where can folks get more information?
So you can go to www.daysofremembrance.org. And again, that's daysofremembrance.org. And all of the information about Days of Remembrance is available on the website. The essay contest is live now. Any high school student in five counties in the area, including Union, Snyder, Northumberland, Montour, and Lycoming counties, can submit an essay application. And all the information about the essay contest is on the website daysofremembrance.org. And we have a deadline of March 15th for essay submissions.
And just for anybody listening, what's the prompt?
That's a good question. We wanted to keep the question relatively open for people to do their own research and come up with their own topic. But what we're asking students to do is to pick any group or organization that around the time of the Holocaust. And that could be a business group. It could be a sports group. It could be a military group. It could be a youth group. Any kind of organization, and to look at that organization to see how they interacted with the Nazis, with the government, how they reacted to the Holocaust, and what they did. And we've got a few questions about, you know, looking into details, but we wanted to leave it relatively open for the students to do their own research and really do their own investigation. And the essay only has to be 500 to 750 words, so that's 2 to 3 pages. And we purposely did not want a large, in-depth research paper. We wanted to make this available and accessible to hopefully all students. We really wanted a lot of participation, and we're encouraging teachers to lead the students in an activity to research the Holocaust together, and it can really be done as a group project, and led by students, led by teachers. It could be led by, you know, Boy Scout or Girl Scout troop leader. Homeschoolers as well are encouraged to participate. So we really want this to be a large effort and have a lot of participation.
I would encourage students to visit during the break, to visit their local library and take a look at some of the books, maybe even open up some of the books and look at the index to get some ideas what's in there. I think you'd be surprised the resources in the libraries we have. That's one of our assets here in the Valley. And I know Google and so forth is very, very helpful in stuff like this, but don't forget the local library.
Yeah, those are very important. And I have one more question. What to you guys is like, what are aspects of a good paper? You know, what are you looking for?
That's a good question. This is going to be a history paper, and so we're looking for a combination of showing somebody who's done some in-depth research and also made links between what they've found to today. And we want to see that students have researched something, understood it, and also made some kind of conclusions about what they've learned and what that meant to society then, but also try and make some links to general conclusions about life and society today as well.
Yeah.
Ben?
Well, it's a very interesting project you've taken on, but, unfortunately, I'm not surprised that students did not know about the Holocaust. When you see the somewhat lack of history being taught in our schools today, particularly American history. We just looked at the end of World War I, and a number of students do not even realize what happened to World War I. So I think this shows some of the things that unfortunately aren't happening in our public education system, particularly in history and American history. And for students to have read Anne Frank the year before and not know anything about the Holocaust the next year, that seems a little, hopefully they read the book, not the Cliff Notes, but it is disconnected. But I think this shows more about the lack of public education in history than unfortunately these students hopefully can go back and have an understanding.
DaysOfRemembrance.org is the website. We're going to keep talking about this topic when we come back. We have Ben Reichle and Taylor Lightman helping to host the show today. We have guests, David Young and Dave Jacobson are here from the Days of Remembrance Board to talk about this essay contest in high schools and really what we're focusing on and why is it necessary. That's really a lot of our focus. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can do as one individual has done, and that is send us an email at onthemark@wkok.com. You can text us at 70236, or you can call us 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number, 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark, 852. We have an open line. If you'd like to call us, we're talking about the Days of Remembrance essay contest getting underway in Snyder Union, Northumberland, and Montour counties. It's an opportunity for young people in high school to earn up to $500. This is a big ticket item, and we're talking to it with David Young and Dave Jacobson. Where'd the proceeds come from, Dave Young?
We're in the process. Initially, this goes back some time, we were aiming at religious groups and veterans groups as the primary sources of donating for this. And I'll be recontacting all those that I talked to because we have made some changes and we're ready to go. So I anticipate there'll be some support in those areas out there. I might add one other thing for students. All students that participate, they'll get a participation certificate.
All right, so just participating is enough to get you recognized because you take the time to meet the qualifications and get that going. Let's focus on what is the real crime here, and that is the fact that history is gone, teaching the Holocaust is gone. What in the world is wrong with our schools that this is happening? Dave, your thoughts on that statement?
I think in Pennsylvania there's not a mandatory curriculum for teaching about the Holocaust. And what we're trying to do is encourage people to learn about the Holocaust and not only study it and understand it, but understand its relevance to today and make connections about what led a society to democratically elect Hitler. He was democratically elected and set up a government that exterminated its own population and then expanded out and exterminated people based on not being considered part of the master race. And we're trying to have people study that and also make connections to today and what that means. And it's just so recent in our history. This is only 70 years ago. My grandparents were forced out of Germany, and fortunately they left, and they went to Palestine, but they escaped before the Final Solution, and they never really talked about it much. It was a really difficult period. So it's just so recent, and it would be great if everybody really knew about it.
Is it too tough of a subject to teach in today's, I'm going to say today's sort of touchy-feely, wimpy, give me a hug, give me a medal for just going out for the team, meaning that if you really get into the crux of what happened, can some of the people handle it? Can some of the teachers even really teach it in a bipartisan way? Yeah. And can some of the students handle what happened? War is hell. I mean, Dave, you've served in the Marine Corps, and that, so it was all, you talk to veterans, and they talk about they go to fight a war so another war can never be fought. But if you get into the crux of the Holocaust, with what's going on in today, I feel like some of these kids would have to go to the safe zone, and they wouldn't understand. And if they understand how bad it is, hopefully it never happens.
I guess a little bit to answer your question indirectly, Ben. When I first went to Germany in 72, I was initially pretty disgusted with the clergy. Where were they in 1932, 1933? And then I read in a book, starting in about 34, every sermon had a Nazi official or a police official give a written report on it. And if it was deemed inappropriate, that minister was put under protective custody, which meant arrested and put in Dachau. And by 1935, the Nazis had arrested some 700 pastors. And so I think as kids start to realize some of the things that they might have misunderstood or did not know, I think their interest is there, especially if it's reinforced a little bit by a teacher. So I have some concerns, but I'm also optimistic in terms of the learning ability of our kids, our future leaders, and so forth. And I think
hope so.
In one sense, what we're doing is it's aimed at leadership and it's aimed at patriotism.
All right, we're talking about this. We're going to have to wrap up. We're just about out of time, but daysofremembrance.org, the essays contest, that'll pay out a $500 scholarship to a high schooler. Sorry, Taylor, you're out of the age bracket.
Yeah. So.
But, that would have been easy $500 for you back in the day.
Got a fake driver's license. I don't know if they'll accept
okay.
that.
That'll help.
Yeah, says I'm younger than I am.
One that says you're younger. That's a novelty. Okay. We have just a few moments left. I guess make a pitch for folks to consider supporting this, getting involved, signing on. We'll start with Dave Jacobson, who I want to add to his introduction here, is the owner of a private business in our valley, American Technology Partners, LLC. That's your business. Business, right?
That's correct.
All right, fantastic. So that's a thriving tech business around here. So he's part of the solution when we talk about economic development. But yeah, back to the essay, make a pitch for folks to just know more and look at this website and to get involved.
Well, our goal is to have students learn about the Holocaust and see its relevance and lessons learned and apply those lessons learned to today's environment. And this really is such an important part of history that is so recent that really everybody should know about it.
It's only 70-some years ago, so there are individuals, or plenty of individuals are alive that know all about this.
That's right. That's right. There are still Holocaust survivors out there that go around and talk. Our head of our Lewisburg parade just last year was a Holocaust survivor, David Wisnia. We would encourage sponsors to support us. We would like to expand to middle schools next year. We take donations. We are a federally recognized tax-exempt organization, a 501c3. We're a registered nonprofit in the state of Pennsylvania. And it would be great to get sponsors that would be interested in having students in our area learn about the Holocaust.
Right. What's the website again?
It's daysofremembrance.org.
Okay.
All right, David Young, an additional comment, please.
Well, you know, real quick, members of our board, we have a lawyer who's a Navy veteran. We have a retired gentleman who worked for 22 years of service with the Pennsylvania State Police. He's an Army veteran. We have a Montoursville teacher, coach, and administrator who's an Air Force veteran.
We got David Imhoof, who's been on this studio. Joshua Readers, we'll assume that's one of the good young people to come out of the Cliff Readers family. And Cliff Readers is on your board, the attorney,
yes.
Veteran. The smartest guy in the world, as near as I can tell. So thank you all so much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it. Daysofremembrance.org. This is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
And Taylor Lightman. We got to get the deep voice man to include our young student here. On the Mark, sponsored.
That'd be great.
Next time. Okay. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. I'm sure he's given us enough words over the years. We probably have a Taylor in there somewhere.
Or you could just get Lightman me to do it. You know, it'd be a little out of character.
Taylor Lightman. or you could do all the voiceover work. You have a good voice. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is now open for an open show here. 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You're welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. Some brief news headlines here. Two people were thrown from a crash that happened on Route 61 in the Pacsinus area. Route 61 was blocked for several hours, but is now open. Northumberland County Communications says the crash occurred around 7:30 a.m. There were individuals injured in that accident, but the all-clear has sounded on Route 61 in Pacsinus. Hundreds of people lined the funeral route Thursday for a firefighter who died at the scene of a fire last week. Captain Scott Danheimer of East End Fire Company in Cole Township remembered as a dedicated volunteer and public servant. He suffered a heart attack while driving a truck December 20th and later died at the hospital. The 53-year-old was honored with a black sash draped over fire apparatus that was in that line of fire trucks. Northumberland County will pay more than ever for corrections next year. $6 million to run the new Northumberland County prison. That's $2 million more than it costs us to run the old Northumberland County prison. Commissioner Vice Chair Sam Schicitano said they weren't quite sure how to budget for next year.
We know what we pay our COs. We know what the benefits cost. The unforeseen are the things that the facility itself costs. You know, the lighting, the heating, the water, because it's just new.
There will be some offsetting of the $31 million in expenses for the new prison. About $1.5 million will come from Perea Biosciences that will buy land on which they'll grow medical marijuana. Additionally, the county approved an agreement with a nearby county to house inmates for a fee. That'll bring in more revenue and more negotiations of land and counties utilizing empty beds at the prison. That will happen in the future, so more funding will be offsetting that. And if you had $43 million and you were a government entity, you might think about giving it back and lowering taxes, but not the state legislature. The legislative branch saw its budget surplus jump by nearly $43 million, with most of the additional money attributed to House and Senate accounts. That means they get to keep the money, and it does not get distributed back into the budget. The Legislative Audit Advisory Commission voted unanimously Thursday to approve the annual financial audit of the legislative branch. The commission says the House and Senate now have $138 million in the bank that's unbudgeted, that is considered a surplus for them to use however they wish. A year ago, the commission pegged the surplus at $95 million. Now it's $138 million. And of course, you would think the legislature, they like to keep taxes low. You'd think they'd lower taxes, but no, they say they will keep it. It's a rainy day fund, and they say they'll keep it in case there's a budget stalemate between the legislature and the governor during the summer budget season. So they will keep that $138 million. And
I'm a little confused about this story. Not just because it sounds bad, but also because
it's very bad.
Is this the actual legislature or the budget?
It's the budget that the legislature has in order for
to
them
run to itself.
Right. So their entire budget is, you know, probably $120 million or so.
But they have a $43 million surplus.
Well, no, it's $138
million. Oh, $130, okay.
It's $43 million more this year than last year. It was $95 million surplus, and that's their bank account that they get to spend however they
want. That's ridiculous.
Yes, that's...
No, not at all. I don't think you guys see the picture. I mean, that means they're under budget for X amount of years. Now, what isn't quite understandable and seems not to be right is, why do they get to keep the money? And what do they keep the money for? So if they have a budget of $100 million to run the Senate and the House, and they only come in at $89 million, that $11 million is a surplus for them, but the criteria of what they spend it on seems to be... What is the problem there? I would say it's good to see that they're, but maybe...
Well, I'm glad they're under budget.
But maybe they, yeah, maybe their budgets, should be $75 million instead of $100 million or whatever that number is. So, again, but these are legislators in Pennsylvania. So these folks are going to, pad their own areas. But to say that,
pad their backside.
Yeah, and then you're going to keep it for a rainy day fund.
What does that mean?
Well, there is an actual rainy day
fund. But what is their rainy day fund? What's the criteria for them to spend that money?
Well, it's untethered. They can spend it on official legislative business.
And here's the sad thing.
They can't spend it on a hotel.
It could actually cost them, let's say, $90 million to run their organizations. They could be budgeting $120 million. And like I said, that rolls over every year, which seems to be happening here. So there is some positives here in the story, but the story should be looked at. Hold it.
So the good news is they're under budget.
Yeah, but
I agree with that.
It should go back to the public in some ways. If you've overtaxed people, that money is theirs, and it should go back in some way.
Definitely. I agree.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. Ben says $138 million in surplus is a good thing and should not be given back. Of course.
No, didn't say that. It's a good thing that they're under budget, but what's the criteria for them to spend it is what should come out. So it should be looked at as how do you return that to the people?
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. You have the state legislature has $138 million of our money, and they refuse to give it back, but they readily admit that they do not need it. 1-800-795-9565. In other words, we've been overtaxed, but they refuse to lower the tax rate.
And it's happened in the past.
Oh, yeah. No, this is nothing. It used to be $200-some million.
Yeah, it's $215 million in 06. So,
yeah, it seems like bad budgeting to me.
Yeah, again, somebody might be padding the budget process.
Well, and I think part of this, too, is most people don't pay attention to this. You know, AP has a reporter that covers this, and even their story is written in such a way that this is perfectly normal. But the bottom line is they've significantly overtaxed Pennsylvanians, and Governor Wolf will not allow them to do anything about it. He's in charge of the budget. The legislature makes it, but he vetoes and has line item. he lets this continue. So he's far more culpable than the legislature. We know that they're going to take good care of themselves any way they can and pad their budgets. But the fact is, you know, we elected a governor that promised to watch out for us. And guess what? He's not. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Rick, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Well, these guys are great, but I'm even better.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it. Hey, I heard you guys talking about the budget. I mean, it's a little off topic, but it just reminded me. I had read last night, and I actually called into the show maybe this time last year because I had read the article in Forbes about the Michigan State professor that audited the Department of Defense and found the $21 trillion missing.
$21
trillion? $21 trillion with a T. Between 1997 and 2015, and that prompted the first Department of Defense audit ever. And they just finished it this past week. And, you know, I just noticed that no one covered it. I had to dig up a Reuters article on it that was, you know, five paragraphs long just saying that the Department of Defense failed its first ever audit, and no one talks about it. $21 trillion, equivalent to the entire U.S. national debt. And they won't say where it went. It just was unauthorized military spending. No one voted for it. They can't say what happened to it. They justified 2% of it for armament upkeeps, I guess, on, you know, military vehicles. But that, you know, that's less than a fraction of $1 billion, let alone $21 trillion, that they can't explain where it went. And
yeah, you know,
no one talks about it.
I have the Forbes article up right now on my phone, actually. Yeah.
And this was released when? Last week, you said?
No, December of last year was when Forbes published it. They did four or five follow-ups. But the audit got completed this past week. They only did 2 weeks to audit a $2.7 trillion Pentagon system, but in 2 weeks they did amount to a failure. I mean, I think that was inevitable, but you know, I'm sure it wasn't in depth. It's just mind-blowing to me. It's the single largest expenditure in human history, and it never, no one ever talks about it.
Well, I think people... I think people have come to expect mediocrity. We know that our legislative leaders in Harrisburg are corrupt. We know they're corrupt in Washington. We know once they get sucked into the vortex that their only goal is to get reelected. So we go into this expecting the worst. We know that every one of their decisions will have nothing at all whatsoever to do with anything that's good for us. It will, in fact, be something that will keep them in office and keep their pensions funding. So then you call in and say, well, they have, $17 trillion in missing money. Well, that's just more of the same.
Yeah, and I'd like to draw a parallel between this and our previous conversation about the Holocaust. Sometimes these big, awful things are just so awful that it's easier to ignore them than to even think about them.
Well, something doesn't make sense here if somebody's covering that, because I never saw the article, never saw a blurb on it, and this doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because there's government watchdog groups that would have been waving this around. So I'll have to go back and look at this article. It was published Forbes
I'll send
2017.
Yes, and multiple follow-ups with Reuters. And the reason it's not touted is because it's not partisan. It extends through the Clinton administration, the Bush administration,
well,
and
20
Obama.
Years, if you say 1997 it's everyone, and that's part of the establishment of government. And I think Eisenhower said it, the military spending machine.
Yeah, the military-industrial complex. Mm-hmm. But I believe there was $6.5 trillion in just 2015 under Obama. And, I mean, that's, you know, we lifted from being in two wars to seven, and now presently at eight. But it's just amazing to me as a nation. It transcends partisanship. It's been going on for over 20 years, and you know, no one can even find these places on the map. The average person, it doesn't even come into the boat. We'll argue about $5 billion walls and healthcare systems that cost a fraction of this, an unbelievably small fraction of this number, but it never comes up in any debate. I mean, I watched all three presidential debates. They never talk about it. Okay, no one does.
But you're saying that the article
is all part of the war machine.
Saying that the $21 trillion was lost money,
military spending.
That can't be accounted for? Or is it total military spending and money that can't be accounted for?
It was unauthorized spending, yes.
Unauthorized, okay.
It had no Senate or congressional support, but yet it was spent on in our current, you know, wars in Somalia, Libya, Yemen, Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria.
We're all over the place. Well, I think people just expect government to be pathetic, and guess what? They fail to disappoint. So I think this is an opportunity for, there may be some citizens who care deeply, like yourself, but it's not enough. Most people just want, their little corner of the world to be kept intact and without their taxes going up significantly. And they want, the real deciders in Washington to keep things on an understandable level so they come up with issues to argue, like shutdowns, because we understand a shutdown. If you go to Steamtown and they're closed, we can get that. So we can argue about that, or a wall. I know what a wall looks like, so we can argue that. But to understand how the federal government loses $21 trillion, I have no idea how they could do that. But guess what? I have very, very low expectations. I know my congressman will disappoint, and I know everybody else in Washington will do poorly. So, this is more of the same.
Yeah.
Well, and I agree with the nihilism. I would say the step forward would be for Republicans to be more fiscally conservative and liberals to be more altruistic. I mean, that's kind of been the, their bedrock since the beginning of, politics, since, the 1960s or whatever. But, for the first time, liberals don't care about starting wars, and for the, the longest time, conservatives don't care about funding them. And I think if, that would become a topic people talked about more, I think that, people would be a little bit more offended by just the sheer amount, $21 trillion. I mean, that should, everybody should, get nauseous over that number.
Yeah.
There's nothing comparable to that.
I'll just read one quote from the article here, and this is a Forbes article. Quote, while the documents are incomplete, original government sources indicate $21 trillion in unsupported, and that means sort of undocumented, adjustments have been reported for the Department of Defense and the Department of Housing and Urban Development for the years 1998 and 2015.
So now it's not just defense, it's
HUD as well,
yeah,
I guess.
Okay, so we're talking about
the money
government.
Was funneled through HUD. Okay. It was money that was allocated for housing and urban development that was subsequently exchanged over to the Department of Defense. Mm-hmm.
Which is criminal in and even of itself.
Yeah, but if you're never expecting an audit, you never expect it to come to light. Unless this Michigan State professor takes it upon himself to do a mock audit. And he has all the paperwork in there. He has Excel spreadsheets. Yeah. You can see all the numbers crunched. But unless somebody's going to do that, it's never going to come up. You never have to be worried about getting caught.
Well, Rick, thanks for bringing this up. This is certainly something I'm going to do some more research on.
Thank you.
No, absolutely, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you so much. 1-800-795-9565. We're having a nihilistic conversation today. Life is meaningless, okay? So now that we recognize that, 1-800-7... Are you okay, Ben? You really
Who let Sart in the room?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Interesting. And, government should be audited at every level and every phase.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, geez, our township has 3 auditors.
Right. Elected. Are you one of them?
No, I'm not.
Okay. 1-800-795-9565. Call us immediately. We're talking about bad government, so that should keep us going for a couple of 2-3 years or so. We're talking about the Pennsylvania legislative branch got us started with their $138 million surplus that they will not give back to taxpayers. And we have Ben Reichle and Taylor Lightman here. We can talk about that. Plus, we have $21 trillion in bad money being wasted in Washington, D.C., which...
I have a confession. I took the $21 trillion.
You have it.
I have it.
Tuition is high. I didn't think it needed quite that much. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Call us immediately. Our topic, bad government. Is it true that we have a bad government?
A special holiday greeting from your local hometown pharmacies.
It's the holiday season in Central PA. Everyone's busy all night and all day, planning for visitors to their hometowns, prepping for parties with New Year's countdowns.
If anyone starts to feel under the weather, we have lots of things to help them feel better. With pharmacists and staff so friendly and quick, a hometown pharmacy can just do the trick.
And boroughs and towns, we're so very close by, near the river and woods. It's not a long drive. There's Bloomsburg, Lewisburg, Northumberland 2, Mifflinburg, Danville, and Mount Pleasant Mills. Ooh.
We love what we do, and we truly do care. When it comes to your health, we're always right there. You can give us a call. Better yet, stop on by. We'll have a nice talk. You can give us a try.
There's nothing quite like a hometown pharmacy where everything's the way it all used to be. Wishing everyone out there good health and good cheer for the holiday season and throughout the year.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from everyone at your hometown pharmacies.
All right, welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. I'm sad to say earlier we received an email, but we're just now getting to it. But when our panel of individuals was here talking about schools ignoring the Holocaust when they teach history, or ignoring history, I guess, is what they're doing. They're not ignoring one specific facet of history. It says, have you considered the parallel of Hitler seeing the Jews as undesirables and Hillary Clinton seeing many Americans as deplorables?
I think that's a really ridiculous comparison.
All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. We should have asked. You're right. Lance, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, sir. This is the old AKA deplorable. Anyway, Taylor, how long are you going to be home?
I've got one more show.
Oh, okay. All right. Headed back for more study.
Yes, yes, I've got a year and a half left. So, yeah, no, I'm looking forward to getting back. I think it'll be good to. I have two exams when I get home or when I get back to Sweden. So, it'll be good to just get back and get them done.
What exactly are you studying now?
So I'm doing disaster risk management and climate change adaptation. So it's a bit of, how do we mitigate disasters? So like earthquakes and hurricanes and floods and that sort of thing with creative land use planning and early warning systems and stuff like that. And it's also a bit about considering the realities of climate change, how are we thinking about the ways in which we construct our society to adapt to these changes?
Well, that's a very good idea to the natural changes in the earth. That's going on a long time.
there's a message in there.
There is a message, subtle message.
Well, think about it, though, that, the medieval warm period caused all kinds of mass migrations. You can study that.
Yeah, certainly. Unfortunately, I think the migration influx that's happening right now is kind of just the tip of the iceberg as large swaths of the equatorial regions become uninhabitable because of really harsh weather events, droughts.
In Central America that's uninhabitable, except the volcano basins.
But certainly in... Sahara in Africa.
About 1,000 years ago, it did the same thing. Too.
Yeah, Sub-Saharan Africa has been Sub-Saharan Africa for thousands of years, so that's why people don't live there.
Here we go, too. You'll find on the Pentagon deal, that was the total amount that was spent on the Pentagon in that period of time. And what they are complaining about, it was never audited. That's why we say unsupported. It doesn't mean that amount of money was gone and we don't know what happened to it. Basically, that is true simply because it wasn't audited. It's like the Fed, the same thing, never audited. And this is what it was about. I know, I get that magazine.
Yeah, there's when you say 21 trillion, when someone says that's unsupported or misspent, there's a flag there that says that's way over. Now, within that 21 trillion, is 10%? What's the number that is wasteful spending, or what would you audit and find out? Also, who's doing the auditing, and what's the repercussions of an audit? So if you come back and you say to the Pentagon, here's the problems, and they then take action to rectify those, then you have something. But I would say government as a whole, was it plus 10 to 15% waste factor in our federal government as a whole?
That's the whole deal here. It's like when folks start saying about the $1 trillion Pentagon budget and everything. Well, last year it was like I think
717.
I have to add 40%. 700. Yeah, a billion.
All right. Thank you so much, Lance.
Why also here?
Very briefly, we got another caller waiting.
Okay, all right. Just 10 seconds here, really. And that is, how do you expect a society that can accept with impunity gender elective abortion worry about anybody being killed for any reason?
All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Lance. Chris, you're on the mark. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Your discussion about not expecting much from your legislature legislators and the deficit, the unsubstantiated or unsupported deficit, it just reminds me of a comment that a very wise man told me one time. He told me when I was a child, but I'll never forget it. He said, the army that wins the war, or the country that wins the war, is not the country with the best army. The country that wins the war is the country with the least incompetent army. And I think that speaks volumes.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Incompetence in what degree? Do you think the Americans were incompetent in World War II, or Germans were more incompetent?
We were the least
incompetent. Least incompetent, you're saying?
Exactly. I think the federal government is incompetent in nearly everything that it does, and it extends over into the military, into virtually anything that the government touches. And it's basically all related to the fact that, you know, the government, it prints money, but it doesn't make any money. And so they have, you know, the taxes are the only source of revenue. And so they can take whatever they want.
But are you talking, do you believe the military institutions have become incompetent based on the economics of military? Because you would say at one point there had to be some efficiencies when you think about winning wars like World War One, World War Two. You think about some of the ways that the military has stepped in, like the Marshall Plan in Eastern Europe. Maybe that was incompetent, but was competent enough to help free up parts of Europe after World War II. I mean, the Berlin airlift, was that competent enough to help the people of Berlin survive?
What I'm saying is that I think the measure of a government is largely defined by their efficiency or lack thereof. And I think that any government, any organization like governments and bureaucracy is just absolutely bound to become incompetent, if that's the word you want to use.
Can they ever be competent, though, in your light? I mean,
not as long as the financing remains as it is. It's all about the money.
So it's becoming the least incompetent you can be to get successful.
Pretty much, yeah.
I can't completely argue with you on that. I mean, I think that's a discussion that is somewhat in
there's something
in
about
reality.
This rain that's making this conversation very nihilistic today. I think
pervaded
all of our thoughts.
I think there's something you've offered for discussion, and it's relevant to a lot of parts of government, and even when you see businesses that are too incompetent don't exist. But there are some businesses that maybe are least incompetent, and they still get by.
All right. Thank you so much, Chris. Appreciate the thought.
Yeah,
that's
thanks,
the feel-good
Chris.
Call of the day. We were definitely going down in history.
Okay, thank
today.
You very much.
We're trying to end the year on
how do you rate the show?
We're trying to end the year on a dour note. So how are we doing so far?
So what, we're going glass half full with a hole in the bottom?
All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. I call our government pathetic. One of our listeners sends me a text, says, Mark, if you call our government pathetic, you're giving them too much credit. There you have it. So they feel worse than I do. All right, use it. It's the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. Call in immediately. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. And we want to remind you of something that we've been telling you all year long, that if you buy locally, don't go to the big box stores. They take that money and they put it in a big envelope and they send it to China. Do not do that. Go to the local Hometown Pharmacies. They take that dollar, they put it in an envelope, and they take it to local fire companies, charities, fundraising, churches, local businesses, the local tire shop, the local restaurant, the local organizations, the Moose, and all those kind of groups.
You know, I went to the Lewisburg Hometown Pharmacy just actually maybe maybe it was yesterday or the day before, and bought some half and half. I talked with Julie there that was working at the counter for 5 or 10 minutes. It was great. Great experience. They, as you say, Mark, super serve you.
Bring in some Lewisburg Pharmacy half and half next week, and we'll talk about that, please.
Right.
I need it in my coffee. I'm
Sounds
out.
Good. Me too.
And you can see folks like Brad at the Lewisburg Pharmacy. That's on 2nd Street in Lewisburg. Jennifer's over at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street, down in that little shopping plaza that's been there for about 30 years now. Danville Pharmacy's on Mill Street in Danville. That's where Kathy's operating out of, and they would just love to super serve you there. Steve's at the Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, North Thumberland, a unique place to visit. It's got Nori gifts and Leaning Tree and you name it, everything else you need. And there's nothing that you can want that he can't get. Tyler at Trutz Pharmacy on Walnut Street in Mifflinburg. He's a super smart businessman up there. And Terry's running the Shade Mountain Pharmacy out on Route 35 in Mount Pleasant Mills. These are the hometown pharmacies. They remind you, shop locally. Every dollar spent locally gets spent locally 10 times over again before somebody finally takes it to Walmart and they ship it out of town. Hometown pharmacies. Supporting you, super serving you. Some of them got the drug take back boxes, and they are just very eager to serve. 1-800-795-9565. People who don't care and governments who are bad. That's our theme today. 1-800-795-9565. One of our listeners says, the government is only as good as the people running it. The framework is sound, but the people running the government are pretty pathetic, especially on the left, says one of our good texters who's very firmly ensconced on the right. So thank you for that, sir. Another listener says, I'm a little confused. Our government is so bad, so pathetic, as you fellows make it seem. Why are so many places around the world seeking to emulate us? Why are we at the top of the heap or very near it if we're so incompetent? Just asking, says Margaret.
Well, yeah. I think it's Winston Churchill who said, I'm pretty sure it's Winston Churchill, we can look this up, that said democracy is probably the worst form of government. However, it's just that much better than all the rest. And that's a paraphrase. And I thought it was Churchill and some other folks have said that. So, again, efficiency of government, not the size of your government. What's the efficiency of your government?
And I will just go on my young man, optimistic platitudes here. And just because it isn't so good right now doesn't mean that we shouldn't, work really hard to make it better. And I think that's something that we all agree on, and I don't think we'd be here at 8 o'clock in the morning if we didn't think that there was no chance of making it better. I, for one, am really excited about this proposition of the Green New Deal, a comprehensive jobs and climate program that some folks on the progressive wing of the Democrats have been talking about. I think it's just a fabulous idea, sort of like a Workers' Progress Administration type program to make sure that everybody that wants one has a job. That wants one and can keep one.
I think that's out there right now. Don't we have more jobs than people looking for jobs?
I think, didn't the unemployment numbers come out pretty low?
Yeah, so we have, technically there's more people.
Yeah.
More it's jobs still and more people looking for jobs, so I think we're probably at that threshold.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with those numbers, and I know that you've said this in the past as well, is that, if you haven't been working for, so many months, you get taken off of the bean counter, whatever.
Considered discouraged, right?
Yeah, and I think that there are people that are still looking for work or part-time work that aren't able to find it, and maybe they just need to go back to school and get their skills re-upped or maybe they, I don't know.
Now there's money for that. There's programs for that. The situation that can be looked at is how much money from the state and federal side, how many job skills programs do you have when you see 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 various job skills program? Shouldn't you have probably 2, 3, 4 depending on the situation?
Yeah.
So, we see the situation with the work end, but look, drive up and down the road, look in the look at the internet. See what happens on professional levels like LinkedIn, where people are looking for work, and people are trying to find good workers. And these aren't just jobs; these are potentially careers.
Yeah, well, I I still think that, you know, even, oh, is it 5% unemployment rate?
No.
Is it lower than that now?
It's like 3.5 or something.
Yeah, oh, okay, okay. Well, I'm wrong. Yeah, no, I mean, I still think that there are people looking out there looking for work. And I think we've had the sort of going on jobs training. I really would like to see, and we were talking earlier about education, I really would still like to see a coding program in these high schools. I think that'd be a really smart move. So whoever's listening.
I would go back to, I think you're on the path where I would agree in 7th and 8th grade, test, find out what your interest skill levels might be. That doesn't say you have to go one way or the other, but it's not the old vo-tech compared to on to college. And yeah. One of the things I'd like to see, you want to talk about mandatory, I'd love to see some basic principles of shop come back to the high school.
Oh, I agree,
I'm talking
yeah.
about a little woodworking, a little understanding of electricity, mm-hmm. a little understanding of plumbing,
yeah.
and some basic skills. As I mean, we even had it at Seals Grove back end. There was the home ec class that changed also to prep for bachelorhood, quote unquote. But I mean, I'm talking about some skills that when they leave. And I would also say this, which I'm not sure the government wants, because if people can control their own finances, then they look at their checks and they get a little irritated, which is good. But some financial understanding.
Yeah, financial literacy.
In the high school. And we had a college professor in here from Susquehanna years ago, and she talked about, talked about the lack of understanding of finances by college students. And I'm thinking, college students, what about high school students? How to balance your checkbook, basically.
What are we teaching all day?
There must be something going on, because I think we're paying administrators and teachers lot of money for doing something with these students.
This was just last year. To walk me through an average year at Lewisburg High School. What were they?
Doing? I actually look back pretty fondly at my time at Lewisburg High School. I did graduate in 2011, so it's been a while, but I think more recent than you guys.
Mark and I are last century.
Yeah,
that's how recent.
I'd say the highlights from my high school, I took a lot of advanced science classes and not so much math classes, but I had some great literature classes, and the creme de la creme of my high school experience, though, was the music and arts programs. I was very involved in the choir. I was in both the chamber choir and the concert choir and the marching band and the orchestra, and I was in the fall plays and the musicals, and I thought that was just a fantastic experience.
Seals Grove, we had excellent. I mean, we had a number of athletes. We were all involved in the class plays and the musicals. We had guys, our quarterback, his name was Ron Carr. He was a lead. Brent Hackenberg, good athlete, was a lead in the plays. How do you balance that out with some life skills that you're going to use? Hopefully you do. What I'm talking about is basic understanding of electrical. You could say, listen, I could rewire that, I understand that, but when the electrician comes here, I have at least an idea of what he's doing. Basic plumbing.
Well, I don't disagree with you.
Financial understanding would be great, because then the story I can remember years ago now is probably about 10 years, maybe a little longer, when a friend of mine's daughter came home from her summer job, and she looked at her check, and she says, Dad, I made this much, but I only have this much. That's when the light bulb goes off, and then you start to tell them this is why.
Yeah.
And then the government doesn't trust you enough, so they have a guy named, like, Mr. FICA or Mrs. FICA, Mr. and Mrs. FICA, who take your money out and save it for you when you get to be X amount of age. But
I think that Social Security is a good program, Ben.
Social Security is a program. How good it is, we can debate that.
I think a lot of people...
All right, we're talking about severe incompetence in government. We'll take your call, 1-800-795-9565. One of our listeners still wants us to talk about this Jewish topic. He says, your unwillingness to even consider that. Well, first I have to ask to read the real thing again. It says, have you considered the parallel of Hitler seeing the Jews as undesirables and Hillary Clinton seeing many Americans as deplorables? And of course, we did read this on the air as requested to do so. But nonetheless, he says, your unwillingness to even consider the parallel between undesirable Jews and deplorable conservatives reveals your appalling, snide denial.
You know, I just have to say, I'll put this out there. I think it's extremely different to say, for a pre- it, like, it's not obviously good for a presidential candidate to say, and I looked up the definition of deplorable, and it's something worthy of condemnation. A major presidential candidate saying that people were worthy of condemnation and the mass execution of 6 million Jews, those are very different things. And honestly, to me, this I think you want to be seen as a victim. And I think that in and of itself is very revealing.
Well, when Hitler's involved in usage, you have to sort of take a step back and look at it. However, there's been a presidential candidate, presidents who have said things about certain parts of the population of the United States. I mean, President Obama talked about when times get tough, people cling to their guns and God.
Not
so,
just anybody, us.
Yeah, so again, it's... But
those are very different things.
Not so different. Maybe because back in the early 30s, on Hitler's rise, what was the systematic approach and what did they do to establish Jews as an enemy of the German state? And you look at history and you see what happened in the mid-30s.
If there's any parallels between Hitler and now, it's between the way that we're treating immigrants at the border, locking children up in cages. Two children have died in Customs Border Patrol.
Are you talking about the Obama administration when they were locked up in cages?
And the Trump administration. The Bush administration.
And the two children who passed away were sick. They would have passed away on the other side of the border.
You have a president that in his opening remarks to announce his presidential candidate that said that Mexicans are...
they're not sending their best here.
They are rapists. And what else did he say?
Well,
and
he said rapists.
He said there are not good people coming here. And they're not. And he's right. And the president who said
most
it before
are
is
rapist.
Right. No, he didn't say most was. That's not true. When he said, here's where the people coming. And you look back at then Senator Obama, you look back at Senator Hillary Clinton, what they said about keeping illegals out and having security at the border. So the inconsistency on the left is just...
I'm not talking about
it. Should we say it might be... deplorable?
Dan, we're talking about your unwillingness to even consider the parallel between undesirable Jews and deplorable conservatives, revealing your appalling snide denial. Go right ahead, Dan. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. Why, a lot of times lost in the conversation of the Holocaust is Hitler's rise to fame, or infame, as you should say. Well, Hitler started out believing Christian principles. He wrote some things you wouldn't believe that sound almost like, you know, an evangelist. But then sometime during his life, he was given the book, The Origin of the Species, by Charles Darwin. And he completely reversed his philosophy, and the name of the book he read, The Origin of the Species, The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. And this is what changed his life. He believed, as Darwin, that certain races weren't evolved as much as others. He believed the white race, as Charles Darwin did, was the top race. We were the cream of the crop. That black race was the least evolved. And they were about two-thirds as human as we were. And, of course, below that, he believed that we came from apes.
Yeah, so that and was, all of that is, of course, Bupkis.
Pardon?
All of that is, of course, Bupkis.
What does that mean?
Just, you know, not true.
That is absolutely true. And you can, you know, it's not very much studied in
so
college.
You believe that one race is superior to the other?
Yes, he did. Darwin believed that. You have to read the full book. That is the one I gave you here, The Origin of the Species and the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for for life. If you read that total book, you'll be shocked. And we're still teaching Darwinism in high school, all the way through colleges, in most colleges. And we still consider that absolute, well, more considered absolute truth today. And we threw biblical principles out the door, and we put Charles Darwin in. You read that, you'll be shocked at what he believed.
All right. Thank you so much, Dan. Appreciate the call.
You guys have a very happy new year, all of you. And it's been a pleasure talking with all of you this past year.
All right. Thank you so much, Dan. Appreciate the call. Same to you. Have a great 2019. You got a big year ahead of you, so enjoy. All right. On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, a family-owned dealership since they've been doing it since 1915. So, you know, they got it down. They know how to super serve customers there, too. And they got drug take-back. No, they don't have any drug take. This is a car dealer. Okay. Sorry. I'm blending my
buy
spiels.
Buy a new car and go take your drugs to the pharmacy.
No, do not do that. No, do not do that. I'm getting this all mixed up here. But anyway, on 4th Street in Sunbury, they got lots of new cars and pre-owned vehicles. Mm-hmm. And Routes 1115 Hummel's Wharf got the gorgeous Kias over there and some select pre-owned vehicles. They're right at Runyon Road, so please go say hi to Ernie and Austin and the rest of the crew there. Or you could just visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. You're not ready for a new vehicle yet? Well, just get yours fixed up at the Quick Lane. They do alignments. They'll pump you up with nitrogen. And the Quick Lane's open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Everything I just talked about, you can find out about more on the web. Any vehicle that they have, you can find out about at sunburymotors.com. They even have some things on the web that are going to be coming in shortly. They're still going through their 100-point check, but guess what? The pictures go up, and there they are. And those vehicles are for sale. So the Sunbury Motor Company, our wonderful sponsor. We will take a quick break, but we'll take more comers. We have one text. We're talking about the connection between the Holocaust and President or Hitler's view of Jews and Hillary Clinton's view of deplorables. What's the parallel? Give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We've got a caller waiting. We got Stan sends us a note, says, so what Taylor's saying is that all the left calling Hitler is uncalled for. Well, I agree with him. So what Taylor is saying is that the left is calling Trump Hitler, and that's uncalled for, and I agree with him. You're not calling Trump Hitler, are you?
No comment.
Okay. Oh, brother. Okay. Lance, you're on the mark.
Why, with the deplorable deal and everything. You know, many an avalanche has been started with one shout or one snowball, and that's exactly what can happen.
What were the deplorables when she said that? I do recall a comment.
Oh, yeah, the deplorables that clinging to our Bibles and our rifles.
No, that was President Obama.
I know, that was him, but what I'm saying is that's what she said, the basket of the deplorables. And I remember I called and said, where are you calling from? I said, from the basket of deplorables.
The breadbasket of deplorables.
Into the
location
that they...
Yep, we're out of time. I'm sorry. See you guys later. Thanks
so
much
for
coming
in. Yeah, see you next week.
Yep, everyone have a happy new year.
Yeah, likewise.
See you next year.
This is WKOK Sunbury.